Romans chapter 12. I'm going to try to finish what we started last week. If you were not here, I will catch you up. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verses 9 through 18 together. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. I'm going to start reading. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be ye of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now watch verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I need you tonight. Please help me. Help me to be what you want me to be, please. Use this message to help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I said last week, and bear with me, churches and society is more complex than it's ever been. It used to be 50 years ago that people didn't travel very much. You travel more every day than most people traveled in a week 50 years ago. 50 years ago, you old-timers that lived around here 50 years or more, you'd have never driven from Martinsburg to Hagerstown or Winchester like you do today. Now it's just a regular thing. Frederick may have been once a year. In Baltimore, you didn't even go there. You never thought about it. Or D.C. Maybe. I still don't want to, but sometimes you got to. Not only that, the population is 70% more than it was 50 years ago. 50 years ago, there were 202 million people in America. Now there are nearly 350 million people in America today. This has made church and the home more intricate than in previous generations. Church used to be the place everybody met, talked, caught up with each other, and now it's done, we're too familiar with people. It gets text, it gets tweeted, it gets emailed, it gets FaceTimed, it gets Facebooked, it gets Twittered, it gets whatever. Now, everybody knows what everybody's been doing, done, and how it turned out before you see each other. And may I say this, this constant interaction of people also brings a change of leadership from time to time. As our church grows, you're going to teach Sunday school or help in this department while your children or somebody that's under you is in another department, and then you're going to switch. And then this person's going to be over you that you were under, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as a church grows, you get a little of that crisscross. And it's not a bad thing, but every time there's a disagreement, there's an opportunity for trouble. The more chances of disagreement means the more irritability and strife and contention. And that's why most churches are filled with nothing but fussing and feuding. That's why the average home is full of contention. The wife wants to do this. The husband wants to do this. They both want to do the same thing, but he wants it done his way. She wants to do it her way. And nobody is in charge because everybody's in charge. And then there's a crisscross of things. Fellas, just learn to say, yes, ma'am, and it's all right. He's learning. I'm teaching him. Now, Romans 12:18 says this. If it be possible, live as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You say, well, preacher, I tried. It just didn't work. So I'm going to declare war. Here's the part that you don't understand. You're not the one to decide whether you can or can't. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Everybody doing okay? See, you're trying to play God, saying, well, they won't agree with me, therefore I can't have peace. Who made you God? You don't get to decide when it is or when it is not possible. You're supposed to live as though it's possible, to live peaceably with all people. Just this afternoon, I got a call that could have been very disturbing. I'm not going to argue with anybody. I'm not going to fuss with them. Not going to fight with them. I just said, okay, if that's what you think you should do, then you should do that. I think they were looking for strife. I wasn't going to give them any strife. It's not anybody you know, so don't worry about it. There's nothing bad that you would know of, so don't worry about it. But your job is to act and react rightly by principle and not let your feelings get in the way. Not let your emotions control you. As we read verses 9 through 17, we're not going to take time to read it again. But it talks about being kindly affectioned one to another, not slothful or lazy in business, fervent in spirit. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. I don't have to go any further with them. That verse number 15, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Did you know part of getting along is when somebody gets something good that you rejoice with them? Don't complain about the fact that you didn't get what they got. Somebody handed me recently a sizable check for Brother Dorsey. They handed it to me to get to him. I didn't say, well, where's mine? By the way, I was excited. I got to be the the delivery boy. I never one time thought, boy, I wished I got one of those. Say, why? He needs it. He's getting married. I know how much his wife's going to eat. If she was here, I'd have said that. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. We better strike that one from the record. Can I tell you something? I know people that would get upset. They would have their feelings hurt that somebody else got what they wanted. Oh, not me. I got a pastor friend up in Maine, Brother Drillyard. He's working on a building. Somebody gave him a pretty sizable check this week. I rejoiced with him. Amen. I didn't say, boy, send it my way. Oh, no, we're in our building. He's not. Now, once he gets in his building, I might say, send it my way. But till then, I'm not doing that. No, I wouldn't. I rejoice with him. I get excited for him. So we're to live peaceably with all people as much as possible. Let me give you I'm just going to state the principle from last week. We did three of them. Number one, you don't need to express your disappointment or displeasure all the time. Number two, don't give your opinion if it's not asked for and if it's not in your area of authority. That was a rough one. Number three, don't exercise your power of your authority all the time. Number four, this is new territory. Number four, try to never start an answer with a negative comment. I am not Norman Vincent Peale, power of positive thinking. All right? That's not even good enough for an outhouse. Just trust me. J.C. Penney catalog did better than that could do. But when somebody presents an idea to you, some of you old timers got that, nobody, never mind. When somebody presents an idea to you and your first reaction is, oh, that's stupid, that won't work, that's usually an opportunity for folks not to get along. Now, listen to me very carefully. I work with a lot of people. Not everybody has good ideas about things. But I don't have to tell them it's a bad idea. First off. Everybody doing okay? When you say that, Brother Dorsey comes to me and says, preacher, man, I got this idea. And he's all excited about it. Do you think I want to squelch the excitement? Now maybe the idea ain't going to float. But I'm going to say, Doc, I like your enthusiasm. I'm glad you're excited about it, but have you ever thought about this and this and this and that? No. Can I tell you why it didn't work for me? Because I've already made that mistake? Yes, sir. How about you come back? Let's lean this direction with it and come back with some ideas about this. Now, you and I have gone through that scenario a few times this summer. I didn't want to squelch the excitement, but we weren't going to fail at what we were going to do either. But I didn't start off by saying, well, that's stupid. Go back to the drawing board and come back with something to work. How's he supposed to know? He's never done it before. He said, well, it just makes good sense to you because you've been down that road, not to somebody else. Statements like, I totally disagree. You're wrong. That's stupid. I hate that, should never start a conversation. Just so you know. Some of you, those are your go-to phrases. That's how you get up in the morning. What was that, Ellen? Yeah, it was stupid to get up, right? I hate that. Stupid alarm clock. Yeah. And you wonder why you start the day all bad. Don't slam the door of their opinion in their face. You know, too many of us want to slam the door of somebody's opinion right in their face. Learn the art of saying, what do you think about this instead? How about something similar but not quite the same? Or, I've tried that. It didn't turn out so good for me. I worked in a church and I was changing positions within the church, and they had taken some of my duties and divided it amongst about three or four people. And one of the men that took part of my duties, he was all excited about something. And he came to me and said, what do you think? And I said, when I tried it, it didn't work real well. I think if I were you, I wouldn't do that. Well, that's because you did it, not me. Okay. I said, that's fine. But if you listen to me, I can keep you from reinventing the wheel. He said, no, I can make this work. I said, have at it. You asked me my opinion. I gave it. I said, I'll support you. And 3 months later, it was total failure and he lost money on it. Say why? Because I did the same thing. He didn't do anything different. Not one thing. And I was sitting in a meeting and the pastor said, did you learn your lesson? Maybe it shouldn't have been said that way, but somebody needed humbled. I didn't say it. I sat there and just looked. Wasn't my backside getting warmed up? I was okay, man. I'd already sat in that seat. Trust me, it's not comfortable. Kind of like that bus seat Saturday morning when I sat in it and it was wet. That wasn't comfortable. Yeah, amen, Brother Jimbo. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's going to be a long morning. Can I tell you something? We shouldn't start off when we're talking with our spouse with something so sharp and negative. When we talk to our kids, it doesn't have to start so sharp and negative. They bring their report card home. They got all A's and B's and one C. It is all you see is a C, and you forget all the A's and B's. And how was your report card? Before you get so stuck on what they did wrong, how about we pull up your old report cards? If you had any. Okay? Number five, I got to hurry. We went to meddling real quick there. Number five, give everyone the possibility of being right, or at least partially right. Can I tell you something? Everybody, whether they're right or wrong, deserve to have their dignity intact. Everybody doing okay? Stand up here. Well, no, he's fine. I'm not telling stories. Whether he comes to me with something that was done right or whether he comes to me with something that was done wrong, I should keep it to where he still has his dignity. We make a joke of it. Slow down. The first time he prayed, he said about 20 minutes of prayer in 13 seconds flat. Was he wrong? No. Just nobody, including God, understood what he said. He was faster than that guy at the end of a TV commercial. I'm thinking, man, he could second for one of those guys and make money. Wait a minute. I pulled him aside and I said, you're young. You've done something I have done. I had to learn. Let me teach you what I did wrong. Let me teach you how I got myself out of it. I'm going to tell on you. I was watching him preach Sunday night. I looked at his outline on top of every page. In letters that big, it said, slow. Slow. Thank you. But I left him his dignity. If I'd have slapped him in the face over it, it wouldn't have done as much good. By the way, you get up in front of a crowd of people and preach once and find out how fast you talk. You think it's so easy, come on up here. You'll find out real fast it's not that easy. Now, wait a minute. Everyone, right or wrong, deserves to have their dignity. That means when your children are right or wrong, they deserve their dignity. Screaming and hollering at them, and when they yell back at you, you wonder why they yelled at you, but that's all they've heard you do. You'd paddle them for yelling at you, but why don't you hand them the paddle every once in a while and check your attitude? Nope. Nope, not there. Can I tell you something? Did you know that honest disagreement is not rebellion? Honest disagreement is not rebellion. I do not expect him to agree with everything that I say or do or how I do it. Not at all. There's times he'll say, preacher, are you sure? Yep. I've done this. It doesn't make sense to him yet. There's been a time or two where he said that and it didn't work out like I thought it was going to work out either. And then I said, I'm not sure anymore. How about we try it your way? Amen. I didn't say, are you serious, though? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I knew a man. He was an assistant pastor who, if anybody disagreed with him, he called it disloyal. I disagreed with him one day. He said, you're disloyal. I said, follow me, dude. He said, where are we going? I said, we're going straight to the pastor's office. Oh, well. Good, let's settle that. I picked up the phone. I said, Brother so-and-so and I are on our way. He's called me disloyal, and it's time for you to settle this. I walked over, banged on the door. We walked in. I told him what happened. He got the other side of the story, and he looked at me and said, Brother Bush, have a good day. See you later. And about 20 minutes later, my phone rang, and that other assistant pastor was crawling under the phone through the wires that weren't there. He got an education. Just because somebody disagrees with you doesn't mean it's disloyal. Some of us think if they don't agree with me 100% in everything, then to the boogeyman you go. Well, just because I like my steak rare and you like it medium well doesn't mean you're right and I'm wrong. You eat it the way you want. I'll eat mine the way I want. I like liver, chicken livers. You name it, I'll eat them. Amen. Give me a big old pile of chicken livers, man, and suck them puppies down like candy. That's meat candy to me, man. Now, there's people in here right now about ready to barf what they had for dinner up. All right? That's okay. We have a difference of opinion, but it doesn't make you disloyal because you don't agree with me. But some of you, even in marriage, at work, somebody disagrees with you, man, that's disloyal. No, it's not. Quit taking life so seriously. You're not going to get out alive anyway. Did you know that children and teenagers need a voice too? Can I help you with something? Mine are all grown. Did you know that how old's your son? Did you know that a 6-year-old doesn't see life through a 52-year-old's eyes? Son, I don't expect you to see all I see. Matter of fact, you can probably see better than I can without my glasses. He's not experienced enough life to know some things. Why should I get mad at him because he doesn't understand in life what I do? Some of you older folks are going to get mad that a 6-year-old, because they have two speeds, wide open and laid out dead. There's nothing in between. I mean, nothing. I mean, it's pedal to the metal or... I knew I was going to kick that one. Thank you, sir. But a 6-year-old, he's going to walk faster than you walk. Matter of fact, his walk is faster than your run. Don't get mad at them because they're going zip, 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 zip around here. We'll get them calmed down, but don't get so upset. Say, what? That's what a 6-year-old does. And to them, it's not running. You ought to see them run. Just because there's a difference there, they still need a voice. You know, sometimes younger people see what we don't see. Sometimes we need to step back and listen to what they have to say. I constantly, even my critics, I listen to what they say. I try to find one thing my critic says and try to fix one out of the things that he says. Say why? Because obviously it's not coming out right. So I'll work on it. I got to hurry. Number 6. I hope everybody's not carrying tonight. Number 6. Don't give your opinion if you have no power to fix the situation. Don't give your opinion if you have no power to fix the situation. Okay. Mrs. Cave, I have no right to say how your granddaughter ought to do certain things because I don't have an opinion about it because I don't have the power to fix it. So it's none of my business. Some of you waste time formulating opinions about everybody else's kids. How about you work on yours? And if you don't have any, praise God, quit thinking about it. Man, some of you spend more time thinking about things that you cannot fix. More people are upset over the United States government. Boy, we could solve it all in a hurry, couldn't we? We got all the right answers. No, you don't. You think you do. Now, I think there are some things I could help our government with. I know I'm dead sure better than most of the Democratic candidates are. I'm not real smart, but paying everybody's school bill and paying everybody's debt and paying everybody's food and paying everybody's medical bills, that's called communism and it doesn't work. You can't pay money out that you did not bring in. You know, basic finances are real easy. Either you have to decrease the outgo or increase the income. That's how you balance your books. Don't give your opinion if you have no power to fix the situation. If somebody already made a decision and asks, was that one right? Guess what? I don't give an opinion. They already made their decision. They can't change the decision. So why should I give an opinion whether I agree or disagree with it? Everybody doing okay? When they've already made a decision, I don't say, well, are you open for an opinion? Nope, they already made their decision. It's too late. Boy, that's good. I don't want to plant a seed of doubt and strife and disagreement in somebody because they made a decision that I would be contrary to. Some of you beat your kids up and beat your spouse up and beat people up at work because they did something. You can't fix it, but you're going to tell them what your opinion is of it. And you wonder why nobody wants to be around you. I try not to offer opinions outside my area. For instance, if I'm talking with a preacher, I don't say, well, if I was pastor of your church, I would do this. Wrong answer. Number one, I don't want that church. I want this church. This is the one God wants me at. Number two, their people are different than my people. I don't even know that that's true. Everybody doing okay? Just because it's my opinion doesn't mean I have the right to act as pastor to make it. I wish you could have seen me as I traveled to Illinois and preached for someone and preached in his church. And I can't tell you I agree with him in all areas. And the areas he brought up I disagreed with, I just got quiet about. I didn't say anything. I may have smiled, I may have nodded my head. Other areas we agreed on, I got excited about. Kept him on point that way. Everybody doing okay? But I didn't get up and preach about those areas where we disagree. That's called being a gentleman. That's called being living peaceably. I didn't sacrifice to build those buildings. I hadn't given 34, 36 years of my life to pastoring that church. I didn't bury all the dead and marry all the young people. He had. Why should I get up and spout off what I would do if I was pastor there? Everybody doing okay? Some of you are pretty good at it. You know, it's amazing how many people write child-rearing books that never reared kids. I promised my wife, I said, when our kids are grown, then we'll talk about maybe giving some advice on parenting children. But till they're grown, forget that mess. I got to get through it first without killing them. And the last one's getting married. Somebody else can pay the bill. Number seven, I got to hurry. Don't offer opinions or advice if I'm aware that if you're aware that they sought advice elsewhere. If Brother Stansberry goes to Brother Dorsey for advice, and then he comes to my office and says, "Preacher, I was talking to Brother Dorsey about thus and so, and he told me this. What do you think?" I'm going to say, "I think you ought to do what Brother Dorsey said." It may not be what I would have told him to do, but I'm not going to go against his advice. You say, why? Because I respect him enough not to go against him. I may go to him later and say, "Doc, that's a little out of your area, and I don't think that was the best thing to do. Maybe next time in a situation like this, you might want to go this direction." Just so you know, I backed you. It's okay. Y'all see where I'm headed with that? That cuts down on, "Well, Mom said I could. How about this, Dad?" You see, I don't give my opinion. When somebody said in my family, "Well, Mom said," guess what I did? I found out what Mom said. Then I found out the truth. Or Dad said, "Let's find out. Let's get on the same page. Let's not," you say, "Well, my kid doesn't lie." Right. You better adjust your halo because the horns are poking through. So don't offer an opinion or advice when they've sought advice from somebody else. Okay, I got to hurry. Number eight. I only have two more. Can you believe that? I'm almost done. We're going to get done with this, I think. Number eight. This is a hard one. This is the hardest one that you're going to face personally. Honestly, ask yourself, who has the best chance of being right at the issue at hand? Honestly, ask yourself, who has the best chance of being right? I know everybody in here thinks your opinion is always the best. But if you'll honestly sit down and think, fellas, when it comes to cooking and cleaning, you don't have the best advice. She lives that world. You don't. Don't you think she knows more about it than you do? We know the eating part of it better than she does. But she knows the cooking part of it better. And all the intricacies. When it comes to doing the laundry. Maybe you do it at your house, but my wife does it at our house. She knows better about it. I'm not afraid to help. But I always ask advice. Now, I'm good at getting the dishes ready to go in the dishwasher and getting that thing loaded up. I'm an expert at that. Say why? Because that's something I tried to do to help my wife every meal. I do. Say why? She's good enough to cook it. I ought to be good enough to stand there and help clean up. Aren't you tired? Who's not? Wouldn't you rather relax? I'd rather us relax together. She's not my slave. You know, if somebody has more experience in an area than you do, they may have a better idea. When it comes to electrical stuff, I'm going to trust him over me any day. Say why? Because I'm not touching wires. Something mechanical, 1-800-MEL-BUSH. If it's a machine or it's got parts in it, he can fix it. Amen, Brother Jimbo? Or Brother Jimbo, amen? He's got duct tape, he's got baling twine, and he can make her happen.
That's good.
Got a whole toolbox, don't we, Brother Jimbo? Man, can I tell you something? I'd trust them over me any day. You say, why? That's their area of expertise. Okay, my dad, he can fix anything just about that's broke. Anything. But let's have a church problem come up and somebody needs counsel. He's going to say, go see the preacher. Don't talk to me. Say, why? Because that's not his area of expertise. He tried that one time and said, I got myself in a mess. And he was in another church, and he said, what do I do? Because his pastor was out of town. I said, I can help you, Dad. But he said, don't worry, I am not doing that ever again. See, most, by the way, this is why a parent who disagrees with the teacher should yield to the teacher, not the teacher yield to the parent. I've been a principal in a school for over 20 years, schools. I've administrated colleges. Guess what? Students don't always give the whole picture. Well, little junior, I know they did this and they did that. Were you there? Did you see it? The teacher was there. The teacher saw it. Well, little junior said it didn't happen that way. Well, little junior doesn't want his backside warmed up. And maybe they did get it unjustly. Okay, but how many times did they get away with it that they didn't get caught? Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. Most leaders are opinionated. But because they are a leader doesn't mean that their opinion is always right. Just because I'm a leader doesn't mean I'm always right. I'm going to use Brother Dorsey again. You can stay seated. He's heard this statement a couple hundred times in the last 2 months. Doc, I'm not telling you what to do. But this is what I would do here. I mean, hundreds of times. I'm not telling you what to do. You can do whatever you want. You say, why? He's the leader. I have an opinion about it. Now, if he's going to do something wrong, I'm going to say, nope, that's wrong. But when it comes to an area that's not right and wrong, but I think he could go a little farther, a little better direction, I might say, you know, I'm not telling you what to do, but he had an activity like that. He came to me all excited, and I said, man, this is good. I said, I'm not telling you what to do, but do you want to make it good, or do you want to make it great? Great. I said, okay. I'm not telling you what to do, but let me give you some ideas, and then you take it and run with it and bring it back to me. I gave him about 4, 5, 6 ideas. He worked and worked and worked and worked. A couple days later, came back, and he was wound up tighter than a banjo string. He said, I think I got what you, and he got what I said. Say, what was that? I wasn't going to demand my opinion. If he left it where it was originally, I was satisfied. I just wasn't settled. I wanted him to come a step above, bring it up, learn a little bit more, step out of that comfort zone, step out of that norm, and do something a bit more out of the norm. As we built this building, I listened to those that oversaw certain areas because they understand it better than I do. I was asking the excavator today some questions, and I said, you don't have to answer them. I said, I'm not questioning you. I'm just nosy and want to learn. He said, no, it's okay, Pastor. It's okay. He said, let me show you what. And he showed us on the blueprints, everything that we were questioning and different things, and it was fine. He knows I was not questioning his authority. It was a matter of I wanted to learn what I missed in the whole thing. Number next. By the way, don't be so satanic as to think your opinion is always best. Isaiah 14, it was the devil's opinion against God's opinion. And when you're so stubborn, you won't give up your opinion to someone else who is a leader also or a co-leader with you. It is satanic. Don't be so satanic as to think your opinion is always right or always best. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like God. It's satanic. And when everybody has to follow your opinion and what you want, it's satanic. It's not biblical. Number 9, and I'll finish. If someone refuses your opinion, let it stop there. If someone refuses your opinion, let it die there. Don't pout about it. Don't express your rebuttal. Don't let everybody else know your opinion wasn't taken. Everybody doing okay? Just let it drop and realize your opinion wasn't used. I got to tell this story. I was on a church staff. We were making some decisions about a sports league and team that we were getting together. I had some proficiency in that area. And the person leading it wanted to do something. And because I was proficient in the area, I said, I don't think that's going to work real well. Well, they said, yes, it will. I said, and the pastor stepped up and said, well, why do you think that? And I said, because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this. And then the leader saying, well, we've got this, we got this. And it was just, I just kind of let it be. And one of the other staff men that was proficient in that area stepped up with me and said, I agree with Brother Bush. There's about a dozen of us in that room. We got outvoted 10 to 2. 10 were bad and 2 were right. No, anyway. But there was about a dozen of us in there. And I had to help run that which I disagreed with. Nobody knew I disagreed with it. My own kids didn't know I disagreed with it. My wife didn't know I disagreed with it. I didn't go home and say, Some of you go home and use your wife as a sounding board and wonder why she's depressed all the time. it worked out. There were a few of the issues I brought up that did take place, but not as much because part of what that leader said was true. The lack of training by all the people involved didn't bring it up to the level that I was thinking. After a while, I even learned to agree with them on some of it. Everybody doing okay? If your opinion's not used, don't go grumbling to everybody that they didn't use your opinion. We should always be working towards harmony as a Christian. Needless disagreements need to be avoided. I avoid needless disagreement. I avoid needless argumentation. Look how many arguments could be avoided at home. Yes, dear. Look how many arguments with your children could be avoided. If we just let them express their opinion, but let them, once they get their opinion out, if it's not a good one, say, I'm glad you got that opinion, but that's not going to work this time. This is how we're going to do it this time. But let them say it. Some of you, you shut them down to where they can't even get it out of their mouth. How else are they going to learn? Look how much frustration at work or at school could be avoided. If we would just learn how to disagree without getting angry with everybody. Look how many fusses at church could be avoided by many churches. You see, just because you see something a certain way doesn't mean everybody does. Brother Don, you don't have the experiences of life I have, but you have experience I don't have. Brother Randy sees some things that I don't see, but I see things he doesn't see. Obviously, because of what? No. He doesn't know how sometimes those coats and shirts drive my eyeballs wagging. You know. And he and I joke about it all the time. And he calls me the colorblind one, you know. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We don't have to agree in every area to be in agreement. We don't have to disagree in such a violent way. I'm not going to agree with Brother Harry about a few things. He likes Dodge. I like Ford. Okay. Doesn't mean he's right and I'm wrong. Means I'm right and he's wrong. No. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You see, we fuss over the... Did you ever sit down and list the things that you ever fussed about? How petty it really is? Think of some of the arguments you had with your children or your spouse or at work over something really silly. We can blow up over the smallest little thing and we avoid the big issue. Folks, learn to get along with people with whom you disagree. Just because you fold your socks this way doesn't mean everybody in the world has to fold their socks that way. My wife has an uncle. God love him. She's got an uncle. He has left socks and right socks. Oh, yeah. He's convinced there's a left sock and a right sock, and he can tell the difference. And if they're not put into the drawer the right way, they're wrong. And his wife, if she gets two left socks together, he's searching through that whole thing to find the match to where the right sock beats it. And there's no L and R on there, all right? He doesn't have Garanimal socks. I mean, he could drive you nuts. He watches my daughter. She'll wear two different colors of socks just to make him go crazy. She does. He's like, you can just see it working in him. And she'll go over and sit next to him and wiggle her feet, knock it. And he's, yeah. I think it's funny. I really do. But he's convinced there's a left sock and a right sock. I said, yeah, the left one's on the left foot and the right one's on the right foot. You think at 4:30 in the morning I'm going to pull a pair of socks out and, okay, that one goes on the right foot. Mm-mm. If it hits the foot, we're in good shape at 4:30 in the morning. Good night. Do you think I'm going to argue with him over left foot and right foot socks? Nope. Doc, you wear the ones you want on what feet you want. I'll wear them like I want to wear mine. I'm not going to argue with him over it. Won't do any good. Not my area. May you stay out of my dresser drawer. We're okay. That's how petty we fight over things. So petty. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. I wonder what area you need to work on in your life. Because we all have these areas that we've got to work on.